South Africa has a new cheapest electric car. It's made by a Chinese company called Daewoon, and in South Africa anyway, the model is called the S5 Mini SUV. It costs only 400,000 rand, making it not only the cheapest EV in South Africa, but also one of the cheapest cars you can buy. It's being introduced into South Africa by a company called Enviro Automotive. CEO Gideon Wolfhart and head of sales Francois Malan demonstrated the vehicle to Tech Central and joined us in studio to talk about it. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Gideon, let me start with you. Tell me a little bit about Enviro Automotive. How long have you guys been around and what do you do?
Well, we started off venturing into the EV market around about 2021. Mm-hmm. So, my brother-in-law and I decided to venture into this market. He's big on the solar.
Oh, yes.
The solar side of things. They've got a company called Solar Europe. Mm-hmm. They importers and wholesalers of solar products and EV chargers and that sort of stuff. And we imported concrete equipment, concrete pumps specifically. We're still doing that, but I'm registered at the Department of Transport and the NRCS and what have you. And he came up with the idea for us to venture into this direction, and we decided that that's the way forward. I mean, that's the way the world is going, and maybe we should look into that, you know.
Right. So you're an EV. You specialize in the importation and distribution of electric vehicles.
Yes. Yeah. That's basically we don't really venture into ICE vehicles. We focus on EVs mainly.
Okay. So which brands do you represent? Apart from Daewoon, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a couple of it's a multi-brand business. So we've got the SRM Bucky, which is a very nice mini truck. Mm-hmm. Comparing well, it's a drop side, 1.6 ton drop side vehicle with a 300 kilometer range. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a Daewoon 4 ton truck, mm-hmm. which can be used as a drop side or a curtain side, dot liner, whatever you want to fit onto it. And then we've got the panel van. We've got a 4-seater and a 2-seater panel van. It's a DFSK EC35 1-ton panel van with a just over 5 cubic meter load bay. The 2-seater, am I correct?
5.8.
So it's almost 6 cubic meter. And then we very excited to bring in the first 4x4 into the market, first double cab 4x4.
Bucky.
Bucky. Mm-hmm. It's called the Radara. It will have a top speed of 180 kilometers an hour and 0 to 100 in 4.5 seconds.
Yes.
So it's Chinese, quite a, is it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually part of Geely.
Oh, yes.
So... yeah, it's one of Geely's brands, and we're quite excited to be announcing that it's gonna be probably middle of the year somewhere, June, July, somewhere there. The prototypes will be
indicative pricing at this stage. What sort of range?
The 4x4 is going to be 965 excluding VAT.
Okay.
And the 2x4 is 915. So there's about a 50,000 rand difference between the 2x4 and the 4x4 with a 73 kilowatt hour battery. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the range, I think it's 425, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it all depends how you drive, because it's 0 to 100 in 4.5 seconds.
The way I drive, I'll probably get 50 k's.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, according to the CLTC standards, I think it's...
over 400 kilometers, according to...
Okay.
To those,
And the brand is... See. The
it's called a Radara.
Yeah. Radara, how do you spell that?
RIDDARA.
Radara. I'm going to go and have a look at that right after this recording.
Yeah. Oh. It's quite a powerful machine.
Yes.
And we're very excited about that.
Well, that price point certainly suggests it's going to be a premium Bucky.
Yeah. No, it's I'll send you some information on it. It's quite something.
Okay.
It's really something.
And this is the first electric bucky in the market, is it?
No.
There's one other.
No, there's one standing outside. Depends on your
definition of what a bucky is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's more of an LDV, isn't it?
Yeah,
delivery vehicle.
I mean, it's completely a different market, different target. Mm-hmm. But I think it's definitely not going to shy away from a Hilux or a Ranger or anything.
It's going to keep Pete head on with those brands.
Yeah.
Okay. It's actually such a nice vehicle. Giron is replacing his cruiser to buy one for himself.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Right, François, let me bring you in here. Let's chat a little bit about Daewon. What can you tell me about Daewon? It's a Chinese brand, obviously. I had a look at their website a bit earlier, and they've got quite a range of vehicles. Tell me a bit about the company, your relationship with them, and why you chose to bring this particular model, the S5 mini SUV, into the South African market first.
We've got the 4-ton electric truck. So we've been working with Daewon for about 2 years, mm-hmm. 3 years developing the 4-ton electric truck.
Yeah, roughly. And obvious.
Yeah, and then...
for this market, design.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And then Giron and one of the other colleagues went to go and visit Daewon, and then they spotted the small car. Mm-hmm. So they actually went to go and look at the other vehicles they've got, and then they spotted the small car. And since we've started with light commercial electric vehicles, people were asking us about a small car.
Mm-hmm.
And we never really wanted to venture in that area because our primary focus on only light commercial mm-hmm. electric vehicles, because we believe that's where the cost savings are for the market and for business starting to use light commercial electric vehicles that's doing enough kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, people have been asking us from the start about a small car.
Yeah.
And because of our relationship with Daewon, with the trucks,
mm-hmm.
that's how the car was ready for the South African market.
Yeah, and I think there's quite a big demand for something like that because the people commuting from Pretoria to Joburg, mm. you know, that's ideal for a situation like that. And reps, how many companies got reps that does 100, 150 kilometers a day? You know, it's perfect for them.
Yes.
And we went specifically to China to go and investigate our different options. There was a couple of options. And... this one came in at the right price because the others, you know, although some of them was fitting ticking all the boxes, but the price wasn't necessarily right. And then some of them had the right price, but we were not happy with the product. So, this unit was already sold to Thailand,
okay.
So it was available on the right-hand drive. Although the homologation wasn't done for our market yet, mm-hmm. so we had to go through that whole process. Otherwise, the vehicles would have been here already.
So it's a whole regulatory process you have to go through.
Yeah, it's a hell of a schlep, you know.
Okay.
It took months and months to get it ready for the South African market, but we're there now.
There's been a lot of criticism about the additional taxes which apply to electric vehicle imports in South Africa. I know the president has said that they're re-looking at it now and possible EV incentives for the local market. But that tax, what price could you have landed that vehicle and what could you sell it for in South Africa if it wasn't for that additional tax on EVs in South Africa? I'm just trying to get an idea of just how cheap electric cars could get if the law changes.
Man, I haven't done that calculation. I haven't looked at it, but you're probably easily going to say 50,000-60,000 rand if I have to
do. So you could get it to the 340,000.
I would guess. You know, the overseas markets actually get a support from the government. You know, they get an incentive.
Here it's the opposite. You're punished.
Yeah, they penalize you. You know, so but that's South Africa now, and I'm of the point of view, you know, you can't wait for the government to do something about it. We need to do ourselves whatever we can. Mm. If you're going to wait for the government to fix the potholes or whatever, you know, you might not have that pothole fixed. So just roll up your sleeves and do whatever you can. You know, so that's our motto in life. You know, you try and do whatever best you can. You know, apart from the headwinds, you must just proceed. If the tax reforms come, you know, it would be great. But if it doesn't, you know, we just have to deal with it.
Push on anyway.
You know?
Okay. So, Francois, what other cars does Daewon make? And do you have any plans to bring those into the South African market at some point?
Of the new energy vehicles they've got.
Oh, they also make ICE vehicles, do they?
Yeah, they originally started with bikes.
Bikes?
Okay. Yeah,
bikes and motorbikes and trucks. So they're big in motorbikes and trucks. And from the new energy vehicles, they've got the 4-ton electric truck, and they've got this small mini SUV now, or the mini SUV. And then they've got high-end vehicles. But at the moment, we're not looking at some of the other high-end vehicles they've got available. Mm-hmm. We're trying to bring affordable vehicles to the South African market.
I saw there were a couple of SUVs on their website that looked quite similar to Porsches.
They've got nice cars.
Probably high-end stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to. And the reason we focus on the Ridara, we believe it's a nice vehicle, a lifestyle vehicle as well. And it is a more upmarket and pricey vehicle that it's a practical vehicle. So it's still being used for light commercial
and
use.
And it's to a certain extent, it's well priced. I mean, 965 for a high-end 4x4, I mean, that's not bad, you know. Even if you go and have a look, what you're getting for 965 in terms of a diesel or a petrol 4x4, I mean, it's really, in my opinion, for what you get, I think it's a reasonable price. And I think there's a big market for it, especially in the mining sector, all the farmers. I mean, a lot of farmers would like something like that because most of them got solar on the farms.
And they spend a lot of diesel.
Diesel is to manage the diesel, you know, it gets stolen, it gets contaminated. You buy diesel, you don't know what you're getting. I mean, half the time you buy diesel, it's already contaminated by the time you put it in your car. That's not even handling it, you know. Yeah. Now, especially on a farm, if they have to keep diesel there for a vehicle, you know, and especially with the newer engines, you know, it's very sensitive for any contamination. So I reckon this is perfect for a farm and for the people on the mines or whatever, you know, lodges, that sort of stuff, you know, game lodges, whatever.
Out of interest, Hiddy, your main focus has been on commercial, like commercial delivery type vehicles and similar. Are you seeing significant demand starting to emerge in South Africa for pure EV commercial vehicles, or most still going for diesel?
Well, there's definitely an uptake. As I said, you know, there's but it's as if the whole concept hasn't sort of penetrated yet. You know, there's something that's blocking, and I can't really figure it out because if you sit and you do the calculations in terms of, as I said to you before, you know, if you, instead of paying the money to put fuel in the vehicle, if you pay that towards an installment, although the initial cost seems very high. If you take it, if you finance it over a long period, 5 years or whatever, and instead of buying fuel, you use that money to pay the installment, you're going to end up with some change. And that is the reality, especially when you've got a solar system where you can utilize the surplus power that you're generating to charge the vehicle, you know.
Which and many companies have on their roofs because of
load shedding. Yeah, 90% of people have it. I mean, all our customers, we haven't sold one vehicle to a customer that doesn't have solar.
Oh, really?
I mean, it starts with solar, and then after that, comes the EV.
A lot of people say it's range anxiety. Yes. I believe it's change anxiety. People are just too afraid to change. They're so used to what they've got.
Yes.
And they don't understand the technology. It's too new for them.
Yeah.
But people that really have got solar, they understand it because it's a battery on wheels.
Yes, exactly.
And the thing about the whole thing is the saving that you've got, although on the fuel you're saving all the fuel, especially if, as I say, if you've got solar. But the maintenance on the thing, there's virtually no maintenance. I mean, the service on these vehicles is like just over R1,000 a service. And if you're a little bit technical, you can do the service yourself in your garage. The most complicated about it is the brakes. If you need to replace the brakes,
right? And when it does need a service like that, have you got the after sales?
Yeah. We collaborating with a company called Wilgen Holdings.
Okay,
and they have is it 14?
Between 18 and 22. Dealerships all around the country already.
Okay.
So they're part of our network. So they'll do
the servicing.
The servicing, and they also do the sales. So it's part of our sales network, but mainly the support in terms of the maintenance. And we've also collaborating with a couple of Bosch service centers. Mm-hmm. We Wilgen don't have a presence. We'll collaborate with the Bosch. We signed up with Bosch in Nelspruit. We sold four EVs to Barberton Mines.
Oh yes.
And Bosch in Nelspruit does the servicing for them, and then we've got four Bosch agents in Cape Town. I'm trying to think now what.
I can't remember the group's name now, but mm-hmm. back to the Barberton mine. Mm-hmm. I actually spoke to one of the managers yesterday that is managing the vehicles that site, and to come back to which clients are busy buying electric vehicles and where the market currently is. The mine built a 7-megawatt solar farm.
Wow.
So they've got enough power. So they decided they're going to start to convert their vehicles running above ground to electric as well,
mm-hmm.
because they've got the power and they are ready to transition.
Yes.
So what we've seen in the market is the solar comes first and then the open-mindedness is there to look at electric vehicles as well. And then we've got a client in Brits as well. It's Office National. They've built a nice new building. They've put in solar all over. They've got that almost off-grid,
mm-hmm.
and they got an electric DFSK van as well, and they literally made deliveries for all their customers for free,
mm-hmm.
because they say it's costing them nothing to deliver because they charge the vehicle with solar power.
Mm.
The problem comes, you know, when you need to deliver a packet of pencils or a small delivery, your markup on that sale is R100, but you need to deliver it to the customer. You know, now the delivery costs R300, and you know, the value of the parcel is R100. You know, so how do you manage that? And this is now an ideal situation where you can actually offer that service, where your position need to deliver that same parcel with a petrol or diesel vehicle, they not be able to compete. And the other thing that people don't ever think about is, you know, if you signing up a contract, guys like DHL or courier guy or whoever, you know, guys that needs to deliver parcels, and they need to sign a 5-year or a 3-year or a 5-year arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
To do the logistics. How do you anticipate the fuel price in 3 years from now or 5 years from now? You know, how do you factor that? So now you can fix your cost. If you need to deliver to a certain point, you can calculate your expenses, and that's fixed. It might come down because all these things tend to have a downward curve, whereas the fuel's got a opposite curve. And that's also something that people don't keep in mind. And as I said before, the diesel, you know, diesel gets stolen. Petrol cars needs to be managed. You know, if you've got a diesel or petrol vehicle, you need to supply the driver with either diesel or fuel card, fleet card. And the amount of fraud that goes on with that, you know, is enormous. And you need to employ somebody to manage that, you know. Whereas with an EV, you don't have any of that. You don't need to look after it because there's nothing to look after.
And back to the IUNE, I delivered a vehicle last week, Monday, to a customer. He's got full solar as well. So he bought a IUNE S5, and he's also charging it from his solar system. And he said he's used to use those those class vehicles. And most of his vehicles, he says it's doing about 180,000 kilometers. Then that vehicle is never the same. Then it's just servicing upon servicing. Everything starts to break. And the big thing about these kind of these EVs is our full range that we've got is an EV does not have a clutch or gearbox.
Which makes it a lot cheaper to service.
Yeah. Those are the big components that a lot of companies is paying a lot of maintenance for.
Yeah.
And if it packs up, I mean, if a gearbox packs up or the engine packs up, this vehicle, I mean, if the motor packs up, it's half an hour to change the motor and it's about 28,000 rand. To change the motor, off you go. You've got a brand new motor, and half an hour later you can be on the road. Whereas with the engine, you know yourself.
Yes.
If you need to replace the engine on a small car, what sort of money you're talking about? It's
as a buy a new car.
Yeah. And it will never be the same again. There's not much to be. It literally takes a half an hour. To swap a motor, you know, it's the simplicity of it is just, you know, it's something out of this world.
All right, let's go through the Daewoo S5 Mini SUV and what it offers. Francois, what are the specs on this? How big is the battery? What's its top speed? What are some of the basic specs?
Okay, the battery is a 3.7 kilowatt hour battery pack.
30.7. Okay.
30.7. So top speed of the Daewoo is 115, downhill 120. But you can definitely drive with the vehicle on the highway.
Okay.
It's not capped to 100 kilometers an hour.
Okay.
You can definitely drive in the middle lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, if you need to drive on the outside lane, you need to drive 160 or else somebody with a BMW is on you.
You need a radar for that.
You need a radar. And then there's two versions. There's a base version and a VIP version.
Difference how much will the VIP one cost?
The VIP is 450.
450. Okay, 450. And the base is 400.
Yes.
Okay, what do you get with the VIP version?
VIP, you get leather seats, you get electric handbrake, you get a light bar at the back.
Mm-hmm.
You get, it's got auto park as well on the selector switch. And then it's...
It parks itself.
No.
Not yet.
Assists you.
Not yet. It's just the auto park when you...
The handbrake goes on automatically.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Automatically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's got LED lights in front. And yeah, that's basic, the cosmetic changes.
Range?
Range is between 200 and 300. All depends how you drive.
Okay.
So but this is about the... It's calculated to 300, but that... Whatever they give you is never the real range. The real range is more like 250, right?
Yeah, we haven't had time yet to 100% test it in town and 100% open road.
But it sounds like it's more aimed as a city commuter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned earlier, someone who's going from Pretoria to Joburg.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah.
For example. And you could probably take it on a long-distance trip, but it's not something it's really designed for.
Most of our vehicles we have driven to Durban. Some of them has been to Cape Town.
Right.
We've done long road trips. It can be done, but the thing is the charging. You know, you need to stop every at least 200 kilometers to charge. You know, So that's unfortunately.
So it's more of a city commuter, mainly. But if you need to, you can.
Yeah, you can. But if you want to go to Durban, rather make it a 2-day trip, you know. because if you leave here early in the morning, you're going to get to Durban late at night. You know, that's basically, if you're happy with that, so be it. But otherwise, if you want to sleep in Arrowsmith or in Moorefield or whatever, then it's perfect, you know.
I can imagine wealthier households would buy this as a runaround to go to the shops. Keep the Mercedes in the garage.
I had a customer client phoning me the other day. He says he wants to buy one for his daughter because she never needs to check the oil or the water.
Yeah, or fill it up.
No, for sure. Now, if you need a little runaround, you wouldn't find anything better than that. Yeah. That's absolute.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
And has it passed various safety regulations? How safe is it to drive?
Yeah, look, you know more about that. It's got its airbags.
It's got airbags in front. I don't have a specific NCAP rating for it, but it feels very solid on the road.
Okay.
Compared to smaller cars that I've driven before, it's definitely not bouncing all over the place when you're driving 115 kilometers an hour on the highway.
It doesn't feel like a golf cart.
No. Yeah. It's definitely solid on the road. Mm-hmm. It feels safe. But I don't have NCAP ratings, unfortunately, for the vehicle.
Great. Well, let's take it for a test drive and see how it handles. So, what does the Daewoon S5 Mini offer? Well, it has a claimed top speed of 115 kilometers per hour. It takes about 8 seconds to accelerate to 100. It has a claimed range of up to 300 kilometers from its 31.7 kilowatt hour battery. And its motor produces up to 105 kilowatts of power to the wheels. And the battery can recharge up to 80% on a DC charger in about an hour. Right, I'm here with Francois Malan from Environ Automotive. We've just done our first little test drive in the Daewoon S5 Mini. Yes. It's quite a comfortable experience, actually. It's a decent build. You were right. It doesn't shake around on the road.
We are very happy with the quality of the vehicle.
Okay. What color options does it come in?
Oh, the first test models that we brought in is white and this mint color. And then there is... It's different colors.
Yeah. Six according to the website.
Six different colors. Yeah. Okay. It's even a pink. I don't know who wants a pink one.
I'm sure they'll be popular.
Yes.
So this is the VIP edition of the car.
Correct,
it costs 450,000 Rand. Just remind me again, what's the difference between the base model and this VIP edition?
Okay, the VIP difference is cosmetics. So VIP's got a light bar at the back. I don't know if we can...
Yeah, we can.
...can show the light bar. So the VIP's got the full light bar at the back, where the standard model does not have the light bar. It's just got these lights on the sides. And then the VIP's got a full digital instrument cluster. It's got leather seats. It's got the electric handbrake. With the electric park as well, and it's got hill assist, where the standard doesn't have the hill assist. The electric park, it's got normal cloth interior, and then it doesn't have a light bar. It's got an analog display.
I believe the tires are different as well.
And the tires, 16-inch tires on the VIP, 15-inch on the standard version.
Okay, it's a lovely little runabout. Actually, I like this color. It's different. It's an unusual color.
It's definitely different.
Cool. How many of them are you expecting to sell?
Hundreds, thousands. All depends how fast people want to
change. What the demand is.
What the demand is.
But so far, what sort of interest have you garnered for the vehicle?
Compared to our other vehicles, we brought in 6 times more on the first batch than any other of our other models, and all of them are almost sold out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we can definitely see there's a demand for these vehicles. And in the right application, if somebody's doing a lot of kilometers, the savings is definitely there. Mm-hmm.
And do you have to be in Gauteng to buy one of these, or are they available all over the country?
Available all over the country.
Okay. So which dealership would you go to buy a Daewoo vehicle?
We've got with, through General Holdings, with DFSK South Africa, they're looking at starting to stock the vehicles as well. So they've got dealerships all over the country. And if our head office, if anybody phones us at our head office, we can tell them how they can. We've got different warehouses already in the country with demo vehicles as well.
Okay. So, and there's a network of service dealers around the country as well?
Yes, we've already have established network that can service the vehicles as well.
Okay. Fantastic. So it's actually quite well appointed for an EV in this price range. It has some features that you'd expect only on a more expensive vehicle. I particularly like this this dash, this electronic dash in front of you. This only comes with the VIP model. It has an analog display on the base model, but it's quite nice. One downside I've noticed is the screen, which also serves as the reverse camera. Is not great in bright sunlight. So when you are reversing, as I was doing just now, it's actually quite difficult to see the image. So that's a downside. I guess it's a relatively cheap screen that they've put in here, and I guess that's one of the ways they've cut costs. But in other respects, this is actually a very nice vehicle. Again, this is the VIP version. It has leather seats. This is quite plasticky, but it's what you'd expect in this price point. This brushed metal, if that's what it is over here, it's probably plastic, actually looks quite premium. And this air conditioning vent system here, looks like something you'd expect on a more expensive vehicle. It's got electric windows, and I particularly like the gear shift here. It's an electric vehicle, obviously, but it's an automatic vehicle rather than a manual, but you can use this to shift between reverse, neutral, drive, and park. When you put it into park, it auto engages the parking brake. But yeah, it's got nice, the steering wheel is comfortable, it's got nice buttons here, there's volume control, it's got cruise control, and various other buttons here on the steering wheel, including volume control, hang up phone call, make phone call, etc., etc. So nicely appointed in terms of the features for the price point. Let's have a look at the glove box. Small but functional. Could fit a few items in there, maybe a small lady's handbag would fit in there. In the center console, there's a storage bin over here as well. You can put a decent amount of stuff in there. Doesn't seem to have wireless charging for your phone, which I wouldn't expect at this price point. But there is a storage area down here, and you could probably pop your phone, a small phone, in there, although it will obviously stick over. You can plug in your phone to the car's USB-A port over here to keep it charged, and presume you can just pop it in this bin down here or in over here if you need access to it. But generally speaking, it's a comfortable ride. The seats are a little on the firm side, but they're comfortable. Don't know how comfortable they'd be after 400-500 kilometers, but just driving around the suburbs here, it's pretty comfy. And well appointed. Electric windows all round. It's good value, I think. Single windscreen wiper, which is interesting. It seems to support Bluetooth. You can insert a USB device to listen to music. Presumably that plays MP3s through there. Presumably you can do that through your phone as well. The vehicle also supports Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. We're not testing that today, but it does support it. The mirrored version of Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. But generally speaking, for the price, I'm impressed. It's not bad at all. Right, we're going to check the rear space here, which is always a challenge in smaller vehicles. Let's see how tight it is. I'm 6 foot tall, and the seat was adjusted for my needs. It's a bit of a squeeze to get in here. Yeah, that's tight. That is tight. If you're just going up to the shops and you've got some kids on the back, no problem. Kids would fit in here fine. I think for a longer distance, this might get a bit uncomfortable after a while. But I'm in. I can move around. I can move my legs. So for a compact car, it's enough. Another speaker here is at the back as well. Good.